first place he went was grace. We, as believers, are all afforded this grace because of one. Jesus Christ is that one. And so, I got a big voice. Let me lower that down a little bit. Is that bearable? All right. So that's kind of where I'm actually going to go today. As you can tell, I had about 6 pages when I asked God for some reference material for what He'd laid on my heart. And He's not going to let me use it all, but I have a few references in there. Because today is Family Day. And so today, I have asked that all the children stay down with us. Reason being is that today's sermon is going to be geared for both young and young at heart. My goal in this is for us as families and as the body of Christ and family with Him, that we take some things home that we can share, maybe have some questions that we may have as a family, and give us a chance to go home and to say, okay, let's look this up as a family and have some of that quality time that the world tries to take away. In saying that, I'm going to share a little snippet. Growing up, I had a grandmother that I talk about quite frequently. The first godly woman, godly person, who has ever put in my life that I can remember. And I used to see her sitting reading a book all the time, and at the time I didn't realize that it was a Bible. And when she would talk to me, she would almost talk in parables. She would not quote me scripture. She would talk about regular, everyday life events, and there would be biblical references. And I would notice that these would stick out, and then this inspired me to ask the question, what does that mean? And that was her window. And she used those one moments, those one little snippets of wisdoms that she gave me to bring that question out and help me learn how to seek and to find the answers. And then, of course, she would crack that book open, and we would go and we would find that scripture. I could ask my grandmother about any phrase or anything that I wanted to in the Bible. She couldn't tell me a single numbered scripture reference. She could tell me the book. She'd say, this book, but she would flip to the page, and she knew where it was. Why? Because the word was on her heart every day. And God had put in her the desire to share that word and to pass that on with me. So I'm going to bring the lesson this morning in a similar fashion. There will be some scripture references, but I'm not going to make you Bible surf. I want to treat this more as a family affair so that we can all sit and interact, and I will be using some interaction. I'm going to pick on a few of you today. The title is Sermon One for All. If you've ever heard that phrase, there's a similar one, All for One, One for All. And in that, it generally talks about one is willing to do their part for the team, and on the flip side, the team will do their part to support the one, whether in need or an accomplishment. Or an easier way to look at it, each one of us does our part to strengthen the entire team of God for the purpose of His glory. But before I dig in too deep, let's pray. Lord, we come before You this morning as a family, united to seek Your word, to seek Your wisdom. And I pray that You use me for that and only that this morning, Lord. I pray that what we take away is for the purpose of growing our family to represent Your kingdom right here on earth. And it's in Your Son's holy name that we pray. Amen. So I'm not going to ask you to turn anywhere, but the sermon is titled One for All. So I'm going to hold up the one finger because we're going to talk about the number one today. One and first just as well. And I am going to keep it a little simpler. Basically, I'm going to go Sesame Street all the way today. So I'm going to tell you that I am bringing the number one to our talk today. But first, let's pray again. Lord, thank You. Here we go. In Jesus' name. So I talked about the first. I had this entire list of firsts that I talked about, and not all these were meant for the sermon, but some of these were worth mention. I wanted to talk about a first responder real quick. Any of us first responders, married to a first responder? I know this young lady is. Anybody in here military? Military veteran? Either one? Okay. This is another type of first responder. In this, these are people who are willing to selflessly step forward first to save you from a bad place, to protect your freedom, to put their own lives in danger. As a military person or as a first responder, we basically are willing to give up our right to life and sacrifice that for your welfare and benefit. But that's nothing compared to Jesus. We can do all those things, and we can fight to keep you safe, and we can fight to keep you free, but we can't do anything for your sin. That comes from the one true Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so we say that we have one God for all people, and our grace is given through the sacrifice of one person. Another mention was the prodigal son. In the story of the prodigal son, we find that the son who was the first to leave was also the first to fail and the first to come back. And in that, the father had to remind the rest of the family, because the other brothers had become upset because he gave him all these things, and he went out and he squandered that wealth, and then he comes back. And you welcome him with the fattened calf. And the father has to remind him and all the other brothers that the celebration is here every day. Everything that I have is yours. Basically saying, we always celebrate in the presence of each other. And if it's going to take a fattened calf, then so be it. But it's not about the one. It's about the whole. Rejoice that the family is all together. Once again, through the sacrifice of one, Jesus Christ, we are all able to be one with the Father. One of the other ones that I thought about was John 3:16. In that, know that each one of you as children of God was the first thought and the reason why that this happened. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. That's you and you and you and I. That's each one of us. If he did not love us the way that he does as his children, that cross would not have been needed. We would have been brushed aside. He would have moved on, but he did not. So in that, we talk about first. And if I was to ask any of you about memories in your life that stick out, any first memories, if I was to ask the adults or parents, one of the things might be a child's first step, a child's first haircut, a child's first word. If I was to ask some of you younger ones, what are some of the first that you can remember? Maybe the first time you ate your favorite pizza. Maybe the first time you tried ice cream and went, not too bad. Maybe it's the first time you got to drive a tractor. So we see all these things that go through our life, but it's normally the first thing that happens that we remember. The most important part is the beginning. And so for me, one of the things that I remember when I look back through my memories, I could talk about first car, but for me, it's the first day that I met my bride. I can remember the day she stepped out of the truck and walked up and said, "Hi, my name is Shelley. How are you?" It sticks out as vividly. If I look out the door right now, it's sunshiny. I could almost envision it right now. And so I look at these things and I say, okay, first. There's a lot of pressure that the world puts on the number one. We know that God, there's only one true God. There's only one true sacrifice that got us there. But here in the world, we talk about first place. Okay, so I'm going to ask, show of hands, has anybody here, young or young at heart, competed in sports, played music, had a chess tournament, played checkers? Go ahead and just raise your hand. It's interactive today. Okay, so I'm going to ask you this. If you go to a competition, what place of finish is your goal? Anybody feel free to answer. First. So the world tells us that it's first. And I'm going to throw it out there because I disagree with it, and I'm going to share it. You ever heard the phrase, second place is just the first place loser? Yeah, that girl's my cheese. Just going to throw it out there, okay? Spoiler alert, through life, through all these competitions, you're going to win some, and you're going to lose some. And sometimes if it's something that you really need to learn and you really need to work at, you may lose a whole bunch before you get to that first place. And I say that because in the world, you look at first place, it's the big trophy, right? They get a little trophy, a little bit bigger. But boy, if you're first, you get all that glory and everything else is set aside. The only system where that works is right here. God is to get all the glory. That is the big trophy. So what matters to God and what should matter to you on the inside is what we do with it. So kids and parents, I'm going to teach you today how we should handle the win and the loss. So when you win, I would encourage you to do this. To give glory to God first, to stay humble, knowing that it's because of His gifts and His favor and His blessings that we did what we did, and keep working to His glory. Now on the flip side of that, when we lose, this is the harder side. We work hard, we go in, and we lose. And I've had many a times in my life where I got in the competition, and not only did I not win, did I not only finish in the middle, everybody had already left the competition before I crossed the finish line. I was way last. So how do we handle the loss? This is going to sound familiar. Give glory to God first. Stay humble. Know that you are gifted. Know that you are favored. And know that you are blessed. And keep working to His glory, not ours. Because the world will tell you it's about you. I'm telling you, it's about the cross. It's about Jesus Christ and what He was willing to do so that we could be cleansed and we can go to heaven. That's why we talk about Him so much. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote in many of his books in the New Testament several things that we use today. Does anybody know how many books of the New Testament that Paul wrote? Confirmed? There's different ones, but does anybody know? You can raise your hand. You can shout it out. There are seven directly. Seven direct books in the Bible, and I confirm this because I was getting three different numbers. There are 7, 13, and 14. His writings actually appear in 14. One of them's a little more questioned that it's entirely him, but there's 13 that are. Seven they can say he wrote it. Okay. So in that, one of the things that he said, Paul says, I've ran the good race. You notice in that statement, kids, that Paul didn't bring any mention about what place he finished. It wasn't about what he finished or what place he came in. But it was about how he ran it. And in that, when you take a look at Paul, if you don't know, Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was imprisoned. Paul was beaten. But in every single one of his letters, he wrote in love. Even when he had to correct other people, and I send this to Timothy, and he sent all the others, in those things, every single time, he wrote those in a godly love. And I would encourage you as a family to take a look at that. But I also wanted to address another number one. And in that, when you get in the race, sometimes the world will tell us that you're not good enough to be number one. You're not talented enough. You didn't work hard enough. And so I've got a little example I'm going to use today because I want you to understand that we are all talented and we are all gifted. So what I'm going to do, I promise to be interactive, and I'm going to pick on a few people today. I'm going to ask Miss Megan to come up and join me. Brother Les, if you will come up and join me. If you will come up and join me. And Mr. Allen, you can bless your mama later because she volunteered you. All right, so what I'm going to do today, I'm going to talk about the parable of the talents. Now, I've preached on this before, and in this, talents is something that you can emplace many other words for. God has given us physical talents. He has given us spiritual talents. He has given us giftings. He has given us abilities, and some of those we tend to use and some of them we don't. But know this, parable of the talents talks about the one, the two, and the five. Now in this story, the master is going to leave for a while. And when he's going to leave, he picks three people that he trusts to entrust a little bit of things with. And in that, when he comes back, we read in this story that some of the people did more with it than others. And so for you youngsters, I'm going to give us a visualization. Today, Les is going to be the master. I would like this young man to be a 5. She will get 2. He will get 1. Now, Les is going to portray the master today, kids. Now, after he passes out 5 and 2 and 1, he's going to step back away, and he's going to leave these 3 here on their own. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep this interesting. So, I'm going to come to each of you, and in order to grow your money, we're going to have to invest, and we're going to have to do something. So, if you can repeat after me what I give you to read, however much money you have in your hand, I'm going to double it. And when, as soon as you double it, if you get it right, you're going to go right back to the master, and he's going to look at them and say, well done, good and faithful servant. If you cannot do what I ask you to do or repeat after me, you are going to take that money that's in your hand, you're going to crumble that money up, and the master is going to come back and give you a look, and he's going to take that money back. Okay, everybody with me so far, kids? Think you can follow along? All right. Who got the 5? You can stand right up in the middle. All right, Mr. 5. I'm going to have you repeat after me. Since you're the first one and you got 5, I'm going to take it easy on you because we're just getting warmed up. We're going to start with part of 3:16. I want you to repeat exactly after me. For God so loved the world. He spent a little time, a little investment, and he was willing to spread just a little bit of the word. Next thing you know, what he had given has now grown. He is now blessed with double.
Well done.
Thank you very much. You can have a seat. Who's number 2? You are number 2. Well, you know what? Alan started, and we did For God So Loved the World. For you, I'm going to finish another part of that, and I'm going to say, he gave his only begotten son. Just say he forgave. He gave his only begotten son. There it is. You got it. Look at that. She put out the effort. She had to work at it. She got it. You can go back to the master. Thank you very much. You can have a seat. So who's left? Number 1. Well, this young and hard man has been at it just a little bit longer than all the others. So I'm going to make what he has to bring to the table a little bit more. And since he's been reading the Bible longer, I'm not going to read it for him first. So your scripture, I'm going to want you to give. I'm going to want you to say Psalm 123 in Greek. Translate on the fly. I'll take Hebrew. If you can take Hebrew, I'm in. Can you do it? Can't do it in Hebrew. So what do we have to do? Here comes the master. You got to give him a look, Les. You got to sell this. Yeah, there's the one right there. Tilt the glasses down. So we take a look at this, and believe it or not, there's a lesson there. Just like these 3 here, God has taken the time to gift every single one of you for your journey. No matter where it is you're going, no matter what it is you do, trust that God has empowered you for what he has willed you to do. How do we do that? We pray. We seek God. We look to have his guidance in our daily life. Now, the hard part, especially for us grown-ups, is what do you do with these blessings? What do you do with these giftings? And I use this as an example to say, you know what? When you come out, and I use the 5 as the beginning, as we are the youngest. And when we're the youngest, things are simpler. And we see things just a little more black and white. They're not always so gray. So in the beginning, we see these things, and we put out the effort, and God is going to reward us. And then I use the 2 as an example, as we come along. 5, then 2, sorry. As we come along, and then a little bit more. And as we seek more, and we grow more, God will gift us more and more. And then sometimes we reach those oddball scenarios where, you know, we may feel like it's just a bit too much. It might have been a bit too much for asking Psalm 123 in the Greek or the Hebrew or Latin, for that matter. But at the end of the day, we have to remember that he was still gifted. So no matter what the challenge is, remember that you are gifted by God and he will empower you to do that. So if you put in the work, you will grow the blessings for God and you will help further the kingdom. You guys can go back and have a seat. Thank you very much. Now, and when I say this, I use the example, you notice I gave out $1 bills. And if I was to say, take this $1 bill and go do something special, it's not necessarily a large amount. Now, when I grew up, you had a dollar in your pocket. You was doing all right. A dollar was a lot. You'd get a Chico stick for a nickel, and it was the big one. I'm the only one who remembers that, ain't I? That's okay. So I want to give you an actual scripture reference. If you want, you don't have to turn there, but if you're writing down notes, write this one down. This is going to be Luke 16:10. Okay? This one marries up well when we talk about the talents and our talents in that example. Luke 16:10 says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much." So a lot of times it just takes that first dollar, that first step, that first movement, and for us to be faithful with that gift that God has given us. Now, I've talked about our first memories. I kind of talked about first place. I talked about running the good race, not to rhyme too much. And I even talked about growing our talents. But how can we please God with all this? I'm going to throw up another number one, and it's going to be Proverbs 3:9. If you want to write that one down or turn there. This one talks about first fruits. And it says, "Honor the Lord with all your wealth, with the first fruits from all your crops." Okay? This can be a challenge for us. But we're going to dive into it just a little bit. So you see, we're all children of God. We're seeking to grow in his likeness. We're seeking to become more Christ-like as we journey here on earth and we move forward. As parents, we have the charge to not only be patriarchs of the family as men and women, but we have the responsibility to teach our kid in the ways of the Lord, to not only take this Bible and crack it open and say, "Read here," okay? That can sometimes be the easy part. It's the application of this when we are out in public and we are out in the field, and how do we handle these situations? So this part is for you parents. The challenge for you is when you're at home with the kids and you've had a rough day at work because Jimmy Ray and Joe Bob just wouldn't leave you alone all day long, and you're frustrated and you come home. Does that stop at work? Sometimes does that challenge spill over to when you come home? And do you come home and see your children as that gift of God that he has given to you? And do you example forgiveness and favor and blessing and peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control? Or can that bleed over into the kids? And likewise, you go to school, kids, for lack of better words. Somebody wants to be a jerk today, and they want to put you down. They want to say, you know what? I don't like pink shoes. Ugliest things I've ever seen. Does it really matter? They're shoes, but we are human, and these things can take effect on us, and we can go through the day, and I can second guess and go, you know what? My favorite pair of shoes. I kind of like them. They got a little green racing stripe. They help me go faster. I can pump up the little thing. Is that still a thing? No, we don't do that no more, do we? Okay. But the racing stripe's still there, so that makes it cool. So to me, I love these shoes. But you know what? Somebody else did. So I may walk the rest of the day hunched down. I may not have the coolest Hello Kitty t-shirt on the block. But at the end of the day, I've got a shirt Mom and Dad gave me one. So when I come home, Mom and Dad's we notice normally when there's something wrong. So kids, we have to come home, and is it easy to come home and still be mad about school and maybe give mom and dad a little trouble when we get home? Ever have a bad day and come home and realize that you're still taking that bad day home with you? Okay, here's my answer for all that. Right there, right here. We kneel. We put these things at the cross because we got to remember, as kids especially, we want to take stuff to us, on us. If somebody says something bad, we're offended. If we go and we're having a great day and we feel good, somebody is surely going to say something cross. But I want to remind you of this. Are they mad at you, or are they mad at the God that you example? If you're exampling that God when you're around everybody and you're acting in good faith and you're letting good godly words come out of your mouth, those are the things God gave you. And so when they insult you or when they speak to you crosswise, it's easy for us to look inside ourselves and go, you know what, I'm just exampling God like He told me to do every single day, and that my parents' example, when I come home and I've had a bad day, it doesn't matter because mom and dad love me and they support me and they want to grow me. And so I can take that and say, you know what, they're not mad at me, they're mad at the God I example. I'm going to give you a little metaphor. I heard this the other day and I absolutely loved it. It said to criticize the painting is to critique the painter. Ever go to an art gallery or just look at some painting on the wall and go, not for me? Not only are you speaking ill of the painting, but you're speaking ill of the one who painted it. And so there are going to be times, kids, when you're going to school, there are going to be people who want to critique the painting. The painting is you, okay? But in doing that, you can always remember, they're not criticizing me, they're criticizing the painting. And when they criticize the painting, that really means they're trying to criticize the painter, okay? And I would encourage you as parents to think about those moments when nobody else is around and you have a chance to example one little change, one little step to redirect our focus on the cross. And in that, our journey starts with, again, the number one, the first step. And so I've worked really hard to keep this short this week. And what I want to say is that on our journey as youngsters, when you go, remember, it's one step. You example what God has given you. You work your gifts to the best of your ability. And just like we did with the talents, if you even put in the littlest of effort, you show God that the littlest speck of faith, the size of a mustard seed, and He will surely grow you, and He will bless you, and He will guide you, and He will carry you. For parents, you are the young at heart. I would give you the same advice because we live in the same world, but just as well, I give an extra charge, and I would offer to you that it is those times that we are home that we have time. And in a crazy world and in a busy world, time equals influence. When I was a kid, we didn't have Google. We didn't have that. Didn't have it. You could go to the grocery store every week, and if you bought enough groceries, you could get the next edition of the Funk and Wagnalls Encyclopedia. Anybody remember? I'm going to date myself. This is a real thing. You would go to the store, and every week, if you spent over X amount of dollars, you could get a Funk and Wagnalls next chapter. And so every week, we went, and they brought out an edition. It took a year to get the entire set, because they got one new one every 2 weeks. 26 books, 52 weeks. By the time the next year came, they brought out the next year's edition. So we went to go to the store so that we could get some knowledge every 2 weeks. Now, last thing I want to cover before we go today, I talked about the journey and I've talked about a lot of things. So today, on the one, I talked about those who can be trusted with very little. Be trusted with a lot. I talked about our examples of what we can do when we're out, and the first words that come out of our mouths are first fruits. And I talked about how we give, and all of our actions are first fruits. I say this because it all starts with one. It starts with one simple gesture. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. One statement. It takes one moment to take a change and put it in effect to somebody's life. It takes one parent, one time, or one mentor, one moment to make a change. Now, in that, you ever heard of a blessing chain? Anybody ever done that? You ever go to McDonald's and the guy in front of you has paid for your dinner? Or if you're driving a really nice car and you see somebody whose car they're actually pushing through the drive-thru because the inside's closed and they want to eat, and you pay for theirs, okay? It all starts with one gesture. I need a couple volunteers, a couple kids. It's going to be real easy. We're just going to pass out money. There we go. I saw, come on up, ladies. All right, ladies and sirs, you did come up. Thank you. All right, I'm going to give everybody some of this. And since we have talked about the number one today, okay, I would like for you ladies to walk around this, and sir, I want you to walk around the entire place. I want to make sure everybody in here has one of those. Can we do that? You can start on either side. We can go down the rows, but let's go pass it out. Everybody. And when we're done, you got to keep one for yourself. That's the rule. Raise your hand if you have not gotten one yet. Mr. Allen. All right, ladies, come back and see me. All right, go it in. Take one. Yes, take one. Okay, you want to hang out for just a second? And then we're just about done. So what I have here is four young youth who was willing to step out and put out a little bit of effort to bless you with something as simple as a dollar. Now, in today's world, the dollar does not necessarily carry a great value, but the symbol that it carries does. Right on that dollar, it says, "In God we trust." So I would like to remind you that in God you should trust. I would like to also remind you that it's the first step that starts every journey. The fun is on the way, okay? Now, since all of you jumped out and took that effort, we're going to show you how this works. We're going to double it up again. We're going to add two more. We're going to add two more. We're going to add two more. Any other youngsters in the crowd? Did you get one? You know what? All right. This actually has an example, I promise. All right, so what I did here, hang out just there for a minute, youngsters. So I also talked about first fruits. I talked about first fruits. I talked about the five talents. Okay? So, this is going to be my challenge. My challenge for you guys is to not be the one talent person. My challenge for you is simple. Is to start that blessing train, but that blessing starts with one step, one action, one word. Now, what this means for you guys This does not mean that I expect you to go out and swipe another dollar out of mom and dad's piggy bank and add to it and then give that away and say, no, I grew my money. There's lots of ways that we can bless. One of those ways has nothing to do with money. It can be one simple question. How are you today? If you see somebody struggling, can I help you? Do you need help? Somebody drops their books. You can say, can I help pick up your books? Can I give you that moment? That's how we grow. It starts with one. So you've got a blessing that I just put in your pocket because this came from my first fruits. Okay? First fruits is the first. And so I want to give a quick explanation, and I'm going to have the kids pray over us today. Okay? First fruits. There's a story of this in the Bible, Cain and Abel. Parents, I would encourage you to share this story with the youngsters. Cain and Abel, one worked the ground, one worked the soil, or one had animals, one had soil, to keep it simple. Okay? One brought the first fruits, the other one brought leftovers. Okay? God doesn't want our leftovers. What God wants is our first fruits. So when I visualize I have $3 in my hand, do you think God wants, and you can answer out loud, do you think God wants the last dollar, or do you think he wants the first dollar? He wants the first dollar. Do you kids know what that means, what that symbolizes to God when we give God the first? Okay, there's many, many scriptures about tithing and offering, and especially first fruits. First fruits, when we give that back to God, that shows God that we recognize where all of it came from. All three of these are blessings that came from God. And so when I say, you know what, God, I know that all this came from you, and you blessed me, and I recognize it. And so you get the first, okay? We do this same thing with our words when we're at school, when we're at home, when we're at family. God has given us the gift to be able to speak and communicate and have family and friends and loved ones who look out for us and try to teach us about God. So the first things that come out of our mouth is our first fruits. Those are things we use to glorify God. That first gesture when we make when we meet somebody and they drop their books and we go to pick them up, that is a first fruit. First fruits is everything we do. When everybody's around, but more importantly, what's in your heart when nobody else is around. So I am a big advocate for youth empowerment, and I will tell you that I firmly believe that the prayers of children are by far clearer clarity and more sincere than ours. We don't have the junk and the what ifs floating around. So if you would please, I'm going to ask, if you are young or young at heart, will you stand up with me? And you are more than welcome to come on up here. And I'm going to pray over those two elders right there today. Will you guys help me pray? I'll say the words if you'll join with me, okay? All you got to do is just hang out. I'm going to ask the two elders to come up. Us kids, we're going to get around them, and we're going to pray. I'll pray for them, and you guys just join me. You with that? Pretty cool? All right. She's like, I know he's going to make me say something. Come on up, kids. All right. If any of the younger ones, would you? Come on, girl. I'm going to pay for this one later, just so you all know. All right. Now, if you are young at heart, I'm going to ask you to come up and come around us, too. Dad couldn't pull you up here for my sermon, so I had him. Had his back. Tanda. See how mom just did it. All right. Youngsters, we're going to pray for those who teach us today. We're going to pray for those who guide us and mentor us and do everything from fold our clothes to buy our shoes. And we're going to pray for all of those people. And we're going to pray for them to have God in their lives so that they can show God to us in our life. You guys good with that? I'll lead the prayer. You just got to bow your heads with me. Ready? All right. Heavenly Father, we come before you today as children of the Most High God. We come to you as clay. We pray that you mold us for your purpose and for your glory. We stand in unity today as we pray not only over our elders, but we pray over our parents, we pray over our neighbors, and we pray over ourselves so that we can represent you with the first fruits of all the gifts and all the talents that you have given to us to further our journey in your kingdom right here on earth. I pray as we move out of here today and we are in that quiet time, in that quiet place, that we not only seek you, but we glorify you in our actions and our words and everything that we do. Lord, we pray that it honors you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. All right, that being said, I want to thank you, children. You have done awesome today. If you have not had the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have any questions, I would encourage you to come up. The elders are going to be up here today. I am going to be up here today.